Here is the opportunity you've waited for. A once-in-a-lifetime adventure to see some of the greatest paintings ever created. And with the elimination of the admission fee for the summer and dual language labels, all intended to deliver encouraging moments for everyone to experience this extraordinary event. The Allentown Art Museum offers 500 years of Italian paintings from Glasgow, entitled Of Heaven and Earth. And this notable exhibition is in the Scheller Gallery and is the only one of its kind on the East Coast. The Kasten Collection, Destinations in Painting, exhibits in the Butz Gallery, and Los Caprichos, Francesco Goya, is offered in the Rodale Gallery. This is WDIY 88.1, Allentown, and you are participating in Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat today with the ever-so-welcome Allentown Art Museum Director, David Mickenberg. Welcome, David.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, what an exciting exhibit. Not just one, not just two, but three, and more to come.
And they work together really well, too.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think all three of them are extraordinary opportunities for people to come and enjoy works of art that are very different, but at the same time, really extraordinarily beautiful, and they work together thematically in extraordinary ways. So there are multiple opportunities, multiple exhibitions, in addition to the permanent collection of the museum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
It's really exciting. We were fortunate enough to be at the preview party and kind of enjoy the opening, so to speak, of everyone kind of moving from floor to floor. And you're right, there's a wonderful kind of flow between this kind of a grand tour quality to the Of Heaven and Earth. There's the Kasten Collection is really about artists looking around the world, travel destinations. And the Goya, well, it's a little different. That's Goya looking at us and our follies and foibles.
Well, I think the Goya exhibition is a whimsical, fanciful, farcical critique of Spanish society in the late 18th century. Mm-hmm. And so it, in a sense, it is the perfect complement and foil to Of Heaven and Earth. Mm-hmm. One is about predicting, presenting some of the standard beliefs and religious iconography of its time in extraordinarily creative ways, and of how belief, entrenched, really extraordinary belief in a set of religious principles, is expressed by artists of their time, as opposed to somebody like Goya, who several hundred years later decides to, in a sense, destroy all that in his work of art, criticize the church, criticize the monarchy, criticize a lack of reason and rationality to contemporary life. So the two of them working together present some really opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of how art functions and the meaning of art and the meaning of life.
Right. And it's a fascinating conversation. It's interesting because you start with Of Heaven and Earth, and it's a wide span. It's 500 years. I mean, it covers quite a kind of arc and a time period. And it's interesting. I know that I was fortunate enough to have traveled to Italy. You think, oh, I'll go see this wonderful work and its place. And there is nothing like being right there with the paintings. But it's very intense to have that kind of, there's 40 pieces. It's a wide range of artists. It's a wide range of time. Mm-hmm. What's some of the feedback? I mean, I know these have been very popular.
Well, I think attendance has skyrocketed, and that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the commentary we're getting on the way the installation was designed by Charles Fromm is sort of a loop that takes you from the 14th century and 15th centuries through to the 16th, 17th, 18th, and then 19th. And you make this extraordinary loop through the museum in which you can actually see how society changes, how artist techniques have changed, how an understanding of perspective and space and how emotion in theater sets into work, and how at the end of the exhibition neoclassicism raises its head, as so does genre scenes and the depiction of Italy during the period. So the feedback we're getting is that it's a wonderful roll-up through Italian history and through the history of art and in a way that is exciting and different. The size of the paintings is extraordinary. For some of the two 10-foot-long Salvador Rosa paintings are really theater and opera and wind and fire and earth coming together. And then you have, you know, the Titian at the other end of the gallery from 200 years earlier in a really phenomenal expression of how an 18-year-old can create an extraordinary work of art.
Yeah.
So it's multifaceted and phenomenal.
And what I found enchanting and very informative, of course, was the timeline. The timeline in the very beginning, so you can trace all of the processes of all of the different artists.
Well, that's right, and it also contextualizes the exhibition within the context of other great artists like the Mona Lisa by Da Vinci, and places that in the context of Titian and his work during a very similar time period. So the timeline actually was an ability for us to contextualize the exhibition in history, to look at comparative analysis, and at the same time to play around with Trexler Hall to be more of a educational space and an introduction to a major exhibition than just another gallery space for the collections.
And there was quite a bit of, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before the interview, changing the sense of space, playing with the sense of the space in the museum. And
I think there is. There are a couple of changes which are occurring. One is that the permanent collection is now being designed as a series of temporary rotating exhibitions so that they don't get dry, that people can come back more often and see different things. The Butz Gallery, which was permanent collection, has become a temporary exhibition space for the Destinations exhibition, will become a temporary exhibition space in which permanent collection will come back and then will go back down again for other exhibitions. And we started to see this with Cheryl Hochberg's pop-up exhibition in April, which took over part of that space for an exhibition that only existed for 3 days and included theater and music as well as visual art. So you're seeing a little bit of play with the exhibition spaces and the purposes behind them. But at the same time, what you're seeing is our ability to actually change the architecture of the spaces to be more appropriate for the exhibitions. So when you go upstairs into Scheller Gallery, into Fowler, what you're seeing is, you know, reconstructed spaces that allow for a different kind of display for exhibitions and allow for dual language labels and allow for a sense of mystery, like those Venetian windows which go through the wall allow you to look from the 15th century into the 18th century and see some of those changes, all of which I think is exciting in terms of the visitor experience.
It's interesting because you've used the word theater, and there is a sense of that kind of making my experience as someone coming through the museum and experiencing the work a heightened theatricality to that viewing and that journey.
Correct, and I think the object is to make the visitor experience a fascinating experience that challenges perceptions and challenges some of the traditional displays which you've seen in the past.
And the casting collection, the travel, that's interesting because I come in and I was excited to see Heaven and Earth and was really thrilled to see the Goya and didn't know what to expect of the cast. And it was really surprising to me. There's another level of kind of comparison and learning about a different... A moment in time when the worldview was changing, transportation, travel itself, who was traveling.
And I think that one of the mottos of the museum has been to expand your world. I think Destinations is about travel. It is about going different places. It is about how artists needed to be on the grand tour and therefore needed to see the works of other countries, see the works of other artists, experience neoclassical architecture, experience the remains of the past, and how that influences their work. So when you're in the art museum now, you can go from Italy to Spain to England to America and, in a sense, see the world.
And to the educational program we were talking about, it's summer, there's City Arts Camp, there's a lot going on. How has that affected the programming for families and youth this summer? I mean,
well, I think the museum has been attempting to do more programming in the galleries, to do more programming that families can do, and to push those programs to the front of the museum so when you enter, you know about them, you can grab them and go, and you can learn at the same time as you're having a lot of fun. So the Passport program came into being this weekend, where you will get, if you want it, a passport to the Allentown Art Museum. Every time your passport gets stamped, whether you are visiting an exhibition, attending a lecture, working in art ways, seeing a visual arts program, using the treasure hunt. Everything you do in the museum every week gets stamped. And at the end of the summer, those passbooks are sort of passed back to the museum, and you are eligible for a drawing. And the real notion about the passport is that you can keep coming back to the museum, and it defines for you what opportunities for engagement, enjoyment, fun, and education you want to participate in. Mm-hmm. And the more you participate in, the higher the potential benefits at the end of the summer are.
And with the free admission, which is a fabulous experiment this summer, I don't know if I should say experiment, opportunity, that allows that kind of coming back and revisiting and playing and exploring in a way that must be really interesting for you all, too, to see the response and what people were
I think the notion of free admission is a way for the museum to activate what it firmly believes in, which is that all barriers to participation, to enjoying the museum, to actively engaging with art on multiple levels and multiple forms of art, whether it's music, or whether it's visual arts, or whether it's theater, or whether it's poetry, or regardless, are eliminated. So that no matter what you wish to do at the museum, there are no barriers to doing that participation. We know that admission prices prohibit at least a third of the potential audience for the museum from coming into the museum. With the elimination of those prices, we hope that families that before couldn't afford to come in or didn't want to spend the money to take a risk because they'd never been there before, come into the museum, enjoy, and see what there is in terms of one of the great assets, one of the great educational cultural assets in the city. Same thing is true with dual language labels. We felt it was incumbent upon the museum to provide that opportunity as another way of eliminating a potential barrier, that being language, to participating and coming to grips with and enjoying and accessing and engaging the works of art in the museum.
And what's the response been? Lots of newcomers?
Response has been great. We really expect our attendance is up by at least a third right now. We figured that admission will skyrocket after all schools are over in the summer, when kids are either in camp or not in camp. We work with camps, and we work with families that have the time and are not worried about school schedules and homework. The feedback we're getting on Spanish language labels has been phenomenal. Feedback has been that we should have done this a long time ago, and that they wish we had. But all that has been great.
That's wonderful. And are you? I'm sure it's a great opportunity to kind of meet that community and track and follow and hopefully welcome them back.
Well, I think that the museum is beginning to work with neighborhood associations surrounding the museum. Has begun to really integrate itself into the community. There, the Jordan Heights Neighborhood Association, Promise Neighborhood Area, are all doing sort of neighborhood festivals, and the museum is participating in all of those this summer. I think that the more we integrate with the community surrounding the museum and downtown, the more we work with all neighborhoods throughout the Lehigh Valley, the more our attendance will go up, the more people will find out that there is something at the museum to really be enjoyed and accessed and they can have fun with.
And it sounds like between the treatment of the space physically, the galleries, the show, there's a sense that there's always a reason to come back as well.
Well, I think that all of the programs are designed to for families and individuals to return every week for something different. All those programs will be changing on a weekly basis. If you haven't done, let's say, a treasure hunt from 2 weeks ago, those are available when you come into the museum or the one that's current for that week. And those treasure hunts are set up for three different age groups. And they're in dual languages. So there are those with the passport programs, with what goes on in ArtWays. There is a host of activities that you can keep coming back to that are refreshed each week, that are different, that are really designed for families to work on together.
It's very interesting because I understand that the exhibition of Heaven and Earth, the 500 years of Italian painting from Glasgow Museum, will be continuing on to Milwaukee and then to the West Coast. So this really is the East Coast showing.
This is the sole venue from the East Coast for Heaven and Earth.
Wow. Well, this is really exciting. We shall learn more about the Kasten Collection and the contemporary artists Emily Lombardo, Edward Hagedorn, and Enrique Chagoya, as they relate to Goya's etchings in our own time, right after this salient message.
WDIY is proud to sponsor the Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater's 34th season, featuring Monty Python's Spamalot, a new musical lovingly ripped off from the film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, July 9th through the 27th in the Baker Theater, Trexler Pavilion for Theater and Dance. For more information, 484-664-3333 or online at muhlenberg.edu/smt.
We're having a lively conversation here about what is happening at the Allentown Art Museum, and you have to be a part of it. We are talking with Allentown Art Museum Director David Mickenberg. And David, you're getting me more excited as the show goes on here about things that have occurred. I did want to mention briefly about those 80 etchings of Goya's and its time. First of all, looking at an etching is somewhat different than looking at a painting, because sometimes I haven't been able to, distinguish one thing from another before it was pointed out by one of the tour guides.
Well, etchings are more intimate, they're smaller, mm-hmm. and they're oftentimes subtle. So the gradations in black and white, the gradations in tonal quality, the way the artist has etched the plate, how deep he's etched the plate, what condition the plate was in at the time that he printed it, how he wiped the plate when he printed it, all will create an image which at times can be very subtle, and also with Goya, very moody and very somber
yes.
and very mysterious. Mm-hmm. So they take deep looking to get at.
Mm.
It is in a sense a little easier to grapple with The Virgin and Child by Bellini. Mm-hmm. They're right there, miss them.
Yeah.
Whereas in Goya's work, the things that come out of the shadows, there are things that are encased in the background, which have meaning to the scene, which take a little longer to get used to. So I think your observation is really spot on.
Mm-hmm.
But the 80 etchings together to see the complete portfolio is a rare occurrence, especially in the condition that this portfolio is in. One of the more interesting things about this portfolio is only 26 or 20, I can't remember the exact number, but 100 copies were actually printed of the portfolio. Only 26 or 25 were ever sold. Oh. The rest were taken off the market because Goya expected to be arrested and thrown in jail for his criticism of the church and of the monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing something that's exceptionally rare.
Yes.
By seeing this portfolio exhibited as Goya created it.
And then, of course, we can talk about the others, if you would, please. Especially, I believe it was the Chagoya, or maybe it was one of the other artists, the contemporary artists, who take a distinction on Goya's piece and
right,
turn it into themselves. So I saw Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld in one of those etchings.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact. And you saw them in all their glory oftentimes.
Yes,
I think that one of the great things about the Goya exhibition is that it merges the past with the present mm-hmm. and with the contemporary.
Oh, okay.
So Goya in conjunction with Of Heaven and Earth is a rather, we talked about this before, rather interesting clash of acceptance and criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think one of the most wonderful things about the Goya exhibition is it brings it into the contemporary. Something that was created in 1799 is now influencing contemporary artists. And there are three artists in the exhibition, one for the 1930s, which is Edward Hagedorn drawing,
mm-hmm.
And then you have Enrique Chagoya's portfolio from the 1990s, and then you have Emily Lombardo's contemporary portfolio, in which all three artists are looking at Goya, understanding his criticism, and making that criticism contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the past influencing the present,
mm-hmm.
A great artist, probably an artist who is referred to as one of the last of the masters and one of the first of the moderns,
mm-hmm.
Who is turning around and influencing some of the great younger contemporary artists of our day,
really?
Who are taking that sense of mystery, of social criticism, of questioning power and authority and questioning traditional beliefs and a lack of rationality to society. They're turning that on its 19th century or 18th century roots and making it contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, Dick Cheney.
Yes.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful. We did want to mention, too, about the 80th anniversary of the Allentown Art Museum. That is happening this year.
I think it's a phenomenal fact that the Allentown Art Museum has been here for 80 years, that it is among medium-sized cities, one of the great museums in America, that for 80 years it has been supported by this community, mm-hmm. that it is the second or third largest grouping of Kress paintings in the United States after the National Gallery of Art, in part because Kress came from Allentown, mm-hmm. And that it has for 80 years supported education, social, and aesthetic endeavors within the community. And so I think it's we are excessively proud of the fact that we are that we're 80 years old. And because of that, there are a series of opportunities over the course of the year that will celebrate that 80th anniversary, as well as point to the future in terms of additional opportunities that now that we're eight decades old, what we're doing in the ninth decade and forward.
Well, and it's interesting, too, we were talking about this, some of the excitement around bringing of Heaven and Earth here, which became available somewhat abruptly and took what would normally take 2 or 3 years of prep, but in many ways it was accomplished in 12 months. Was 12
actually
months?
12 weeks.
12 weeks, oh, forgive 12 me, 12 weeks.
I wish it were 12 months, but it was 12 weeks. Would have been easier in 12 months, but no, 12 weeks.
And on lots of levels, not only by the staff and everyone else, but you were saying the community, just that the community stepped up and supported and felt this connection to the museum and went with it and stepped up to the plate.
This is really an extraordinary experience for the Allentown Art Museum. I think that exhibitions like this are both expensive and complex. Mm-hmm. They take a lot of time to decide on what the exhibition should look like, the educational programs they get designed in conjunction with it. And that's why it usually takes, you book an exhibition like this, which is organized by the American Federation of the Arts 3 years out. And during that 3-year period is when you raise money, it's when you design your educational programs, it's when you hire architects to look at the space and design the exhibition space, it's when you talk to contractors and schedule contractors. And all of this had to be done in 12 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
It was a rather mad rush. But also, in order to do it, we had extraordinary help from two individuals. One is Charles Frum, mm-hmm. and the other one is Diane Ahl at Lafayette, who did some of the curatorial work and designed the exhibition and designed the walls and did an extraordinary job doing that. Mm-hmm. We had Dugan and Marcon really mm-hmm. step up to the plate in an extraordinary way and help build the walls. Mm-hmm. On the inside of Scheller and in right. Fowler, and do so in a way that really is remarkable, and to help meet those costs. At the same time, there were close to 17 people, both in the literacy project as well as at Lafayette College, as well as at several neighborhood associations who helped us with the translations into Spanish.
Oh, right. Yes.
Then there was other additional people from the community, especially from SOTA, in terms of docent work and in terms of supporting the free admission mm-hmm. over the mm-hmm. summer mm-hmm. that really assisted the museum in putting this on. Without all that help, we couldn't have done it.
It's amazing.
Now, we are sure that everyone knows where the Allentown Art Museum is, but if you are listening and you're not in the area, we will tell you exactly where it is. It's in Allentown, of course, at 31 North 5th Street in Allentown. And you can ask any question you want by simply going to ask us at allentownartmuseum.org. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of information for you. David, it has been truly wonderful talking with you. You're very exciting, and this whole exhibition is very exciting, and we're looking to talking to you more in the very, very near future.
It'll be a pleasure.
Great. We want to say thanks, too, to Steve Aronson, our master engineer of the century, who continues to carefully create spectacular radio programming and who continues to bring depth and bravado to our weak radio voices throughout this and the last century. Thanks, Uncle Stevie. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.